In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. And we have a special guest in our studio today. Currently, we are having a missionary conference, and Killick is our guest this morning. Why don't you say hello to the audience?
Greetings, audience. Greetings, Brookside, Brookfield, Wisconsin. I am Killick Aristide.
Well, we're thrilled to have you here, and we're going to ask you some questions about what you're doing and the call in your life and what God has for your mission. So let's just start with the first question. Where are you from?
I am from Port-au-Prince, Haiti. I moved to the States to study at Letourneau University in Longview, Texas. After my undergraduate studies, I went back to Haiti and worked for a Christian network radio station there. I was the technical director of the Christian network radio station. And then we moved back to the States, this time in Colorado. And the funny thing is, at the radio station, we had Focus on the Family and many ministries from Colorado. So we thought, Colorado must be a Christian state. And we got there, we found out there is no such thing as a Christian state.
You know, a lot of people, when I've traveled foreign, they call America a Christian nation. And I always have to correct them and say, no, there's Christians in the nation.
Amen.
But we are not a Christian nation. And that applies to our states as well. We got Christians in the states, but we don't have any Christian states.
That's right.
To admit and say.
Yes.
So help me understand timing. When did you first come to the States for school?
I came to the States in 1997 for school. I graduated in 2002 and went back to Haiti.
Okay, and then you served there at the Christian station.
Yes, sir.
And then you came back to the States to work. What year was that?
I came back in 2009.
Okay, so this is quite a long time ago.
Exactly. I came just 6 months before the earthquake of 2010, and I came basically to pursue the American dream. I came to make a lot of money. I started very well. I started with a small business, and then I was involved in sales with the company Aramark. And my wife got her school counseling degree here in the U.S., so she started to work for school districts in the Denver area. So we were doing very well financially.
So this is an interesting part of the story, because you have a plan for your life, and I bet you're probably thinking, Lord, bring us to America. He answers the prayer. Lord, help me get a job. He answers the prayer. Lord, can you bless what we're doing? He answers the prayer. And at this point, you think you're in the center of God's will.
Exactly.
And you were.
I was.
But then something changed.
Exactly.
What changed?
What changed is my wife, she went back to Haiti in 2015, and she saw the need to reach young people. I have to tell you, Haiti has a very young population. And in the neighborhood where she was, she saw kids on the streets, and she questioned, what am I doing in the U.S. when these kids are not rich? These kids need to hear about Jesus. So the Lord put it on her heart to do vacation Bible school for these kids during the summer. So she came back and told me the plan that she has to go and do vacation Bible school. And I told her, "You good luck, you're on your own, you can go. And you can go with my son, but I am not going to Haiti because I am done."
So this is interesting. So your wife has a desire to go back and serve. God has been blessing you with resources, so you're able to do this ministry.
Yes.
And she goes, and she realizes the great need.
Exactly.
She's moved by the Lord, by her own people.
Exactly.
She comes back, and she's excited. You're probably excited for her, too.
I was excited for her, but I didn't want to be a part of it. Because
now, did she ask you, come and join me?
Yes, she did. She said, yes, you should come with us.
And you said?
I said, no, I am not going back to Haiti. I had, you know, I was thinking about, well, the skyline of Port-au-Prince where I grew up was destroyed. There was no more what I used to look at because of the earthquake that leveled the downtown of Port-au-Prince, Haiti. So I wanted to continue to pursue my life, continue to pursue money, continue to make money and live the American dream.
Yeah, and I can appreciate that. I think the audience can appreciate that there's sometimes, hey, I have some needs I'm trying to meet. But the Lord wants us to grow, does he not?
Amen.
So your wife comes back, she shares her vision, and you basically say not only no to her, but you're really saying no to who?
To the Lord.
Now, how did the Lord respond?
Well, she went in 2017.
So 2 years passed.
Yes.
She goes back again.
Yes. And then...
With you?
No. No.
With her son?
With my son, yes. With our son. So when she came back, she showed me the pictures. And I saw many kids and some adults get saved. And I still said, no, I'm not going. But then I started to think about it.
So she comes back with a story, with fruit. The Lord is blessing these activities. And now you're still saying no, but now in the back of your head, there might be a possibility.
Yes. I thought about it, and then I went with them in 2018. In 2018, we saw a great harvest. We had two vacation Bible schools, one in the Port-au-Prince area where I grew up, and one in the south area, in the Lehi City area where she grew up.
Now, wait a minute. You first said no. Then you said a no a second time, but kept in the back of your mind, how did you get to the third yes? What did the Lord do in your life that made it possible for you to say, okay, honey, I'll go with you?
You know, I told my son, hey, son, if you have good grades, if you have better grades at school, I will go. And he worked hard that year.
Now, are you saying that you didn't expect your son to do so well? Were you hedging there?
I wanted to give him an incentive. And so, yes, I went in 2018 and I saw what the Lord used us to do, us unprofitable service. And brother coming back from Haiti that year, the country was in chaos, tire burning in the streets. We got checked at very often on the road, you know, road cuts. And in the midst of the chaos, we're trying to make it in time in Port-au-Prince to catch our flight back to Colorado. And we heard the soft, calm voice of the Lord telling us, now those people that come to the saving knowledge of Jesus, who is going to disciple them? Who is going to teach them how to live, how to grow? Who will help them grow?
It makes me think of that passage where Jesus says, the field is white, mm-hmm. Pray for more workers.
Yes.
And so you go out there. Now, when you were out there, were you starting to be more tender towards this ministry? Was it a look and see? Was it just a step?
It was really a look and see. It was really, okay, I can go. I can dedicate 2 weeks of my life to this and come back and continue my pursuit of the American dream. That was the thought when I first went. But coming back that year, the thought was, I think the Lord is calling us to be there.
Now, this is so important because in your journey to this mission, God has to do a work in your life. And it takes several years, so it didn't happen overnight. But one thing that was important is you were at least willing to go for a short trip. And I think these short-term mission trips is a great way to seek the Lord in such a big decision.
They open your eyes. I have to tell you that around 2017, a pastor came to my church in Parker, Colorado to preach a mission conference. And he sat with me. He looked at me square in the eye. He said, man, you will be more useful to God in Haiti than you are here in the U.S.
That must have been a significant blow to your heart and head.
Yes, sir. Yes, it was.
Now, what year was that?
That's 2017.
Okay, so that opened up the door to prepare you to go out in 2018.
Yes.
So you come back from this trip. You clearly hear the Lord in the sense of you saw the need. You saw that you had the means to do this. What next?
So we came and talked to our pastors, and we shared the vision. They said, we are with you 100%.
So the leadership at the local church affirmed this. Now, did they come to you later and say, we've been praying for this, we knew all along, or were they surprised?
Pastor Dave Hine, who is a good friend of Pastor Ken Keltner, said he saw this in us. He has been praying for this.
And I find that just absolutely fascinating because it shows you that God is not working just in your life, Killick, right? Yes. He's working in the life of those around you.
Yes.
And together, he's bringing providentially all the things in place so that you realize that this is the next step in your life.
Yes, just like it happened at the church in Antioch. My church, I have to tell you, when I joined that church 10 years ago, they put their arms around us. They really made us feel at home. And they had a model in the previous church, the church that planted that church. They had a missionary, someone who was from India. And he was praying for missionaries to go to India. And he told those people, well, pray for me so God can send missionaries to India. The person said, I'm not praying for you because you are the one God is calling. So I like to say, I was praying for missionaries to go to Haiti, not me. Missionaries to go to Haiti. And I looked in the mirror and I saw a missionary.
It was you.
It was me.
You know, that's such a great lesson, Kilik, because how often do we say, Lord, someone else can do this? And it really is the test of love, isn't it? That if we're going to get our hands dirty, if we're going to make the sacrifices, if we are willing to pray for someone else to go, should not we be praying that we could go, if the Lord desires?
Yes, sir. And, you know, we cannot outsource mission. Mission is for us, the members of the church. It's for the local church. It's for us to say, yes, Lord, send me. Now, it doesn't have to be all the way across the ocean. It can be right in your neighborhood. It can be right in your city. But missions is for all of us.
Now, I'm assuming during this time before you were called to Haiti that you were serving a local church. You were evangelizing. You were already doing some of these things already.
Yes, sir. Every Saturday morning, I go with my pastors and other men in my church and other women. My wife also, we usually have teams of men and women. We are paired together and we go knock on doors. Rain or shine, we are out there.
So this is another part of the story I think is so important for people to understand. And that is, before you ever get that final call, that clear calling, the Lord is preparing you way ahead of time in other small ways. You had to be obedient in this area before you could take the next step of obedience in a different area.
And also, Pastor, they saw me, they saw us, and I'm not trying to put myself on a pedestal, but my church saw us trying to reach to Haitian in Denver, Colorado. In fact, there's a small Haitian church, and we have been helping in that church, preaching, teaching, and doing evangelism with them, around them, and through them. So, yes, we have been reaching Haitians in Colorado.
Wow, that is amazing. Well, our time is up for our first time together. And I just would ask that if you want to learn more about this story, visit thearistides.org. Let me spell that for you. T-H-E, the Aristides, A-R-I-S-T-I-D-E-S. org. And there you can learn more about your story.
That's correct.
What is all involved. And I'm just so thrilled to be hearing this part of the story and being reminded how God calls us step by step, incrementally. And if you are thinking about missions, why don't you begin first with a prayer that says, God, I'm willing to go. Now, Lord, show me what's the next thing to do.
Amen.
And I love about the fact that, yeah, you can say no to God sometimes. He's patient, but eventually that no needs to turn to a yes. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. And Kilik, it's been a pleasure. We look forward to hearing more about your story next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about the Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.